I hope as we were singing that song that you were thinking about what we were singing. We were singing about a wondrous gift from God, His Word, the Bible. I hope that those words really is something that we take to heart, that we do desire the Bible, that we want to have that Bible, we want to be able to read that Bible, study that Bible, search that Bible. Some of you may remember that a few weeks ago I had a lesson on why I should study the Bible. And I suggested to you then that from time to time over the next few months, I would be presenting other lessons that ask that same question. Why should I study the Bible? That first lesson that we had touched a lot on what that song we just sang was about. Remember, that lesson was, why should I study the Bible? Because it's light. And we just sang about that. Lamp of life immortal. You would think that the fellow that wrote that lyrics to that hymn must have listened to this morning's sermon too, about the life and light, or life and immortality coming to light through the gospel. But tonight, I want to continue this idea, answering that question about why I should study the Bible. But I want to approach it from maybe what we might think of as perhaps a more practical rather than informational, or that's not the best way to say it. I guess the best way to say it is just to go ahead and tell you. What it is I want us to look at is a problem that I have found through the years that a lot of people have had about their Bible study. They want to study the Bible, or they say they want to study the Bible. They know they ought to study the Bible, but they think that they can't do it. They have all kinds of things that come to mind, reasons why they can't study the Bible. Well, I want to suggest to you, why should I study the Bible? Because I can. That's important for us to understand. I've made a list tonight that I want to share with you of some things that I have observed, some things that I have gleaned from others as I have read and as I have asked questions of others. Misconceptions that people have in regard to studying the Bible and thinking they can't. Reasons that they give that they think are really reasons that they can't study the Bible. But you can. You can study the Bible. I can study the Bible. We can study the Bible. God has given us the Bible with that intent. A lot of people think they lack understanding, so they think, I can't understand the Bible. Yes, you can. God says you can. God says that He has provided the Bible for us so that we can understand. And that's what I want us to realize as we look through this list tonight. I should study the Bible because I can study the Bible. And since I can study the Bible, I don't need to think, for instance, that I don't need others. And what I mean by that, I have run across in my life, and possibly you have too, some that think, well, I can really only study the Bible if I do it on my own. That it's not really important to have other people study with me. It's not really important to share with others my thoughts and what their thoughts might be as we read and look to see what God has to say to us. And so we have this idea of independence. I want to do it myself. And truly, there are lots of resources that can help you do it yourself. In fact, you know, I'm kind of solitary in that regard. I like to just get as much involved in the text by myself with no sound happening, you know, just focused. But I have found that when I get a lot out of Scripture is when I'm in an assembly like this, for instance. That's just one example. Maybe I'm at here, maybe like in one of the nights of our gospel meeting. And I'll be reading and I'll be looking and I'll be listening. And I realize that there's other things to see in God's Word. Or even when I'm teaching the Bible classes that I teach every day, I've been teaching, you know, these same classes for 8 years, I guess. But every time, and I deal with the same topics a lot. But you know what? Every time I come back across that part of my study, I think, Now, why didn't I tell those people last year that? Why didn't I see that before? I know that had to be there, but why did I not know it was there? And that comes about from an interaction with others. In assemblies, in Bible classes, we don't do it on our own. We don't need to do it on our own. We can study a lot on our own, but there is, because there's great value in that, but don't get me wrong. But one of the main ways that God has given us to use the Bible is to use it with others. The skill of others, the insight that others have. Sometimes there's something we might miss if we're doing it ourselves. But when we're sharing that digging in with other folks, somebody might uncover something and see something and point something out to me that I had just read right past before. That's a great benefit, to be able to share God's Word together. Over in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13 especially, but most people focus on verse 12, where Paul says in 1 Timothy 4:12, "Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe." But verse 13 is equally vital to what Paul's telling Timothy. "Until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching." Look what's all coupled together there. Teaching, exhortation, and the public reading of Scripture. You see, that's what God has intended. For us to work together, to study together, to grow together, we ought to look for opportunities to be able to spend time with our fellow believers in studying the Bible, whether it's in some kind of small setting, some kind of small group, some kind of gospel meeting, a Bible class, whatever it might be. We need to find those opportunities to study and to read God's Word with others. But also, a lot of people have the mistaken idea that they need some kind of vast education or some kind of specialized degree to be able to study the Bible. No, you can study the Bible, so don't think you need a vast education and some sort of special degree. Don't think that. Now, is there anything wrong with education? No, in fact, that's another one of the blessings that God gives us, is the ability to have education, the ability to learn. In fact, He expects us all to learn and to all do the best we can in terms of learning. Now, sometimes it works out so that some people have other opportunities than others do, and maybe they can spend maybe an extended part of their life in studying the Scripture with others, maybe receiving some kind of training, maybe studying portions of biblical history, or maybe having special attention given to hermeneutics, you know, the way of looking at the Scripture. But I want us to understand, don't ever think that you need some kind of vast and specialized education, because God didn't give the Bible just for the use and just for the benefit of scholars. He didn't give it just to scholars. He gave it to everybody. He gave it so that God's people from all walks of life could understand it, learn from it, and be saved by the power that's in that message. Just think of a few things that God says through David. Psalm 19, 7. "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." That means those folks who might not have the same education as somebody else, but what can become of them? Making wise, that is, making skillful in the use of that word, even the simple. Even the simple. And it comes from our attitude toward the Word. Think about the 119th Psalm. Of course, the 119th Psalm is all about the Word of God. It's all about His Word. And you know, that's the Psalm with all those verses in there. But think beginning in verse 97 of that psalm. Oh, how I love your law. It's my meditation all day. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, because I keep your precepts. See, God has said, it doesn't matter. You can learn, you can know, you can grow, because you can study His Word. You can meditate on His law. You can look at His commandments. You can gain understanding, no matter your background, from looking at God's Word. God has given all people the Bible because He wants everybody to look at it. He wants everybody to understand it. He wants everybody to know how to become one of His people and to live as one of His people. A long time ago, there was an emperor by the name of Gregory. He is usually referred to in history as Gregory the Great. And he said something, you know, not that he's some great biblical scholar necessarily in understanding what the Scriptures say, but he hit this right on the head. A quote that I have from him: Scripture is like a river again. It's broad and deep, but it's shallow enough in places for a lamb to go wading. But it's deep enough over there for an elephant to swim. And that's exactly right. Everybody can get in that river. So don't think that you need some vast education. God expects all of us, whether we're aged, whether we're young, whether we've been taught in some particular area or not, we can study the Bible. And very much related to that, some people seem to think that they can't study the Bible because they might not know some of the languages that are used in the Bible. They might not understand some of those Greek words or Hebrew words or Aramaic words. Well, you can study the Bible, so don't think you need to know languages. Now, again, it's just like the educational idea. Greek, Hebrew, Aramaic, it's very useful. It's very useful in the study of God's Word, but do you have to spend your life studying Greek or studying Hebrew or studying Aramaic? No. Now, I will tell you, I don't use Greek much, but I have studied and do continue to study Hebrew. It's hard work. It's hard work. And is it helpful? Oh, yeah, it's very helpful. In my studies, there are so many things that it helps me make connections and it helps me to see that I might not otherwise have seen. But that doesn't mean that everybody has to understand Greek. It doesn't mean that everybody has to understand Hebrew or Aramaic or even some of the borrowed words from Old Persian or some of those other languages like some of the kings we've been talking about in David's study of Ezra and Nehemiah. You don't have to, because God has seen to it that we have a Bible. Guess in what language? The one we speak, the one we read, English. Now, some of us sometimes stumble over the English language, but God has made it so that we have it. God has made sure we've got it. Some people weren't always, throughout history, weren't always that blessed. But we understand that we can pick up a Bible. I mean, there's a Bible right here that's it got English words in it. We can read them. We can understand them. And God intends that we be able to read, because He tells us to. He says, even the parts of the Bible that were written before time, you know, the old, what we might call the Old Testament, He said, even those were written so that we could have instruction, so that we could endure, so that we could have encouragement, so that we would have hope. So yeah, it's important that we read it, but we can read it in English. In fact, think about it just a minute. Think about some of the very first Christians. They were Gentiles. That means they weren't Jewish. That's what the word Gentile means. Gentile, basically, Gentile means everybody that's not a Jew. Right? Did those Gentiles, were they familiar with the religious language of the Jews, that is Hebrew? Now, the Jews in day-to-day conversation were speaking other things, but their religious language was Hebrew. Did those first Christians who were Gentiles, did they know Hebrew? Some might have known a little bit from just casual conversation with Jews that they met, because they were largely taught by Jews to begin with, at least. But in their local congregations, did they ever hear the Old Testament? Yes, they did. But how did they hear it? They heard it in Greek. They heard it explained and based on Greek translations of the Hebrew language. In fact, we know this is the case because when we read Scripture, if you do look at language, you can understand that a lot of the time when Paul is quoting from the Old Testament, which he does very, very frequently, you can tell, if you do back up to the original languages, you can tell that what he's quoting from is from the Greek translations. So again, my point is that God has made sure we've got something we can understand. Just like those early Christians had Greek that they could understand, we've got English that we can understand. And yes, knowing those languages is a great tool for studying the Bible, but you can still read the English Bible. And you can still find God's Word, and you can still see what His plan is, and you can still see what the Savior has done. You can have that spiritual food that you need. But then continuing on with my list, again, something I've run into very often, and this is getting to be a more common myth in people's minds, I think, or maybe it's just an excuse in their minds. Oh, I can't study the Bible because I don't have the time to study the Bible, because really, Bible study just takes so long and there's so much going on in my life. Well, you can study the Bible, so don't think that you don't have time. You do have time to study the Bible. Yes, our lives are busy. They are. And there's no doubt about it. There's all kinds of pressures on you. Well, especially if you're like a mom and a dad, you've got family pressures. You know, maybe the dad has to go to work. Maybe the kids, they've got pressures from school. You've got all kinds of interactions and relationships with your neighbors and other family members. All of that is competing for your time. All of that is competing for your energy. And so what happens is people begin to feel like, well, studying the Bible, that's just one more thing that I don't have time to fit into my busy schedule, because, you know, I've got to have some extended period of time. I've got to have a big stretch of time if I'm going to do that. Well, there's a couple of things wrong with that outlook. One, and first of all, is that really? And if you look at your lives, I bet everybody in here would say, you know, I've got a lot going on. But in reality, everybody has more time available than you realize you do. We've got more time than we think we've got. How much time do you spend on your phone? How much time, those of you who use mobile devices and computers, how much time do you spend browsing social media? How much time do you spend listening to your favorite podcast or looking at your favorite show? How much time do you spend, you know, looking at a newspaper, if there are still newspapers? I don't know if there's still newspapers or not. But you get my point. There are a lot of things that we allocate our time for. We've got the time. We've got the time. But even if by some stretch of the imagination you truly lack that extended period of time to sit and study the Bible, you know what? God's Word is powerful for 5 minutes, just like it's powerful for 15 minutes, just like it's powerful for 30 minutes, or an hour, or 5 hours. My point is, God's Word is powerful any time you've got. If you've got 15 minutes, don't waste it. Use it in studying the Bible. Don't say, oh, I can't study the Bible. I've only got 15 minutes. That's 15 minutes you can see the power in God's Word. That's 15 minutes you can be looking at the light of God's Word. It'll make your understanding deeper of who God is, what His plan for you is, what His plan for everyone is, and who you are and how we relate to God. Don't think that you don't have time. If you've got 10 minutes, 5 times a day, look at there, you've already got 50 minutes in one day. Can anybody spare 5 minutes, 5 or 10 times a day? Can anybody spare 10 minutes, 3 or 4 times a day? You see, you've got the time to study the Bible. And a lot of people think that they don't have time to study the Bible because they think, oh, I've got to have some really complicated method or pattern to follow. I've got to have some kind of structured thing that's really complicated, and so it's going to take more time than I can do. No, you can study the Bible, so don't think that it's a complicated thing to study. The Bible is not a complicated thing to study. Are there some approaches to studying the Bible that are very detailed? Yes. There are some very detailed studies you can get into in the Bible. Sometimes, you know, you have to kind of go step by step and do it a little at a time. And yes, when you have the time, the energy, some people need more patience than others too, you can really get deep into Scripture. But what happens is that I've noticed, and probably you have too, the more complicated you make anything, then the more tendency there is to kind of get bogged down in it. And you get kind of overwhelmed by it. It doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way at all. You know, Jesus had quite a good way of putting things down on the simplest terms. For instance, when he was asked to describe the law of Moses, when he was asked to describe that to the man who was questioning him, testing him, wanting to know, well, tell me about the law of Moses. Which one of the commandments in that law is the greatest commandment? Jesus just simplified it. I mean, he just put it right out there as plain as can be. He didn't choose one of the 10 commandments. You know, he didn't do that. He just summed the whole thing up in a real simple statement. By using words from Deuteronomy and words from Leviticus, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. That's the first great and first commandment. A second's like it, love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. See, Jesus just made it just real simple. Everything, by the way, in Scripture relates in some way to those things that Jesus just said in loving God and loving our neighbor. I mean, that's what all of God's Word from one end to the other is really about. So maybe a very simple way to start out your Bible study is asking the good questions, looking for the things in God's Word that He wants us to see about loving Him and about loving our neighbor. Because if we understand the love of God, then we're going to understand how we need to respond to the love that God has shown us, what the sacrifice is about, what His plan was about. We're going to start unfolding, you know, a lot of God's Word is going to start unfolding right in front of our eyes. By just coming to God, knowing that, hey, I love God and I want to see what He's got to say to me. I know He wants me to treat people right. Look, let me find out what is it He wants me to do exactly for other folks. It's not complicated. It's not complicated. But then I want us to look at one last thing that seems to overwhelm people sometimes. Some people don't study the Bible because they use the excuse that, well, nobody's really encouraged me to do it. There's nothing happened in my life. Nothing has happened to me or no one has happened to me to give me the motivation. Well, yes, you can study the Bible, so don't think that there must be some outside motivation to get you started. Don't think there's somebody that needs to come along and kick you real hard to get you started down the road of studying God's Word. You don't have to have that. When it comes to studying the Bible, you know where your motivation's got to come from? You. You have to love the Lord. You have to love His Word. And your delight in studying God's Word is the strongest fuel there is to get you going. If you truly believe that your very life, your spiritual life, depends on every word that comes from the mouth of God, guess what you're going to want to be looking at? You're going to be looking at God's Word. You're not going to want to be looking at the words of men. You're not going to want to be studying up to see what some man has said. You're going to be looking to see what God's Word said. You know, Jesus used that approach when he was tempted by the enemy, by the devil. Jesus did what in response? He quoted Scripture. And one of the very scriptures he quoted was, "Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." If you truly believe that and have that attitude that I exist by studying God's Word, then there's your motivation. You might be also reminded from that statement of what Jesus said to his disciples when they came to him after he had been talking to the Samaritan woman at the well. They had gone to get food, you remember, and they came back and Jesus wasn't hungry, and he said, "Well, did somebody already give you something to eat?" And he said, "No, I've got other food that you don't get, that you don't understand. I got food that you don't know about." And he was talking about God's Word. His food was telling that Samaritan woman about who he was and what God's plan was. If you truly have that kind of heart, you're going to be motivated. And you're going to take the time to study God's Word. Listen once again to some of the things that David said about this motivation and why it was so important to him. The 119th Psalm, I'm going to just take a few passages from there to begin with. There in the 119th Psalm, he says, "My soul cleaves to the dust. Revive me according to your word." Revive me according to your word. Why am I motivated? Because God's word is going to revive me. Look in the 37th verse. "Turn my eyes away from looking at vanity and revive me in your ways." Am I truly interested in God's Word? It's going to revive me. The 50th verse. "This is my comfort in my affliction, that your Word has revived me." Look at the 93rd verse. "I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have revived me." The 107th verse. "I am exceedingly afflicted. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word." The 116th verse. "Sustain me according to your word, that I may live, and do not let me be ashamed of my hope." The 144th verse. "Your testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding, that I may live." The 154th verse. "Plead my cause and redeem me. Revive me according to your word." The 156th verse. "Great are your mercies, O Lord. Revive me according to your ordinances." The 159th verse. "Consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness." You see, there's my motivation. I want to live. I want to live. How am I going to live? How am I going to be revived? How am I going to make it through afflictions? How am I going to know what to do? I'm motivated to study God's Word. What we have to do is be willing to open up our eyes and see it. So just think about this list we've made tonight. And I want all of us to make up our minds that, yes, I can study the Bible. And I'm going to study the Bible because I do need others to study with me and to help me grow. I don't need some kind of vast education. I don't need to spend my life in the hard work of learning an ancient language. And I can make the time because it's not complicated. And I am motivated because I want to live. I want to be revived by God's Word. I want to close tonight with one more passage from the 119th Psalm. This time, the 18th verse. And I hope that all of us can say this very same thing that the psalmist said. Open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from your law. Open my eyes. Help me to study your word, God. Help me to do the things that I see in your word. Help me to live my life that way. Let me live. Revive me. Help me to study. Help me to look and be motivated to understand that life comes from your word. And to use the phrase that we used this morning, that Christ Himself has brought to light life and immortality through the gospel. Help me to recognize, God, that I can study your word. That's why I should, because you want me to, and I can. There may be those here tonight who have studied God's word and have come to the conclusion, after looking at God's word and looking at your life, that you need to make a change in your life. Perhaps it's to come to Him to join that wonderful family of brothers and sisters in Christ by obeying the Word, having your sins washed away. Perhaps you've done that, but your life is not what it ought to be. And you recognize your need from looking at God's Word, from studying Scripture, that your life doesn't line up with what God would have you do. You can change that. You can repent of that. You can ask His forgiveness. And as John tells us, He is faithful to forgive us when we do that. If you're here this evening and we can help you in any way at all, we would certainly be glad to assist you if you would just let us know by coming to the front while we stand and sing.